From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak, today on the Third Commandment. The Third Commandment prohibits our taking the Lord's name in vain. I trust you'll stay with us as we continue to consider it, because it's so important to the Lord. Somehow it has become a joke among men who seem to think nothing of using the name of God in the most irreverent fashion. But He says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And that's our study today. Now, we've been receiving a fairly constant stream of mail from you, our listeners, and I must say we do appreciate your interest. That many of you have found these programs a source of blessing is an encouragement and a joy to us. So keep your letters and your emails and indeed your telephone calls coming. We enjoy receiving them. You may contact us by mail at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.com. That is freepres@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free. Our telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. In the spring of 2005, biologists announced to the world that they had discovered a new species, popularly called the Laotian rock rat, or to give it its official name, Leonastes. It is a small, long-whiskered rodent, with a face that looks like a rat and the tail of a squirrel, and it caused quite a sensation in evolutionary circles. However, when paleontologists that is fossil experts, took a look at this new species, they recognized it at once. They said it was not a rat at all, but a species named Diatomyidae. And far from being new, they claimed that it went extinct 11 million years ago. So goes the story, as told in the journal Science in March 2006. Our local press carried an AP report of the story, along with a picture of the little fellow from Science, with the blurb, "The Leonastes is the only living representative of the otherwise extinct Diatomyidae, a family of rodents that lived in South Asia and Japan." This story calls to mind a similar event when evolutionists discovered a fish called the coelacanth that they had declared to have been extinct for something, if my memory's like 38 million years. Of course, they were wrong, for not only did a coelacanth turn up alive and well, but fishermen had often come across it off the coast of Madagascar. And as in the case of the so-called Laotian rock rat, the specimen discovered differed not one iota from its fossilized ancestors, supposed to have lived many millions of years before. Some people are mightily impressed when evolutionists trot out these huge numbers when speaking of natural history. Millions and billions of years roll off their tongues with assurance. What most people don't know is that evolutionary dating methods all proceed on evolutionary assumptions. They are statements of philosophy, not measurements of history. For the moment, let us, however, allow the evolutionists to speak of their imagined millions of years. They have traced the ancestors of the Laotian rock rat back to its extinction 11 million years ago. Yet now we have a living rock rat that says two things loud and clear. First, it did not go extinct. Obviously, this supposedly extinct species has been alive and breeding throughout all those millions of years. Second, after all this supposed time, it has not changed in any way from its fossil ancestor. Now that's a problem for evolutionists, especially when dealing with a creature that was supposedly so inadequately adapted to its environment that it went extinct. To survive, if evolutionary theory were true, it would have to adapt and evolve. But it didn't. It is the very same creature that it always was. In other words, once again, where evolutionary theory can be tested by hard evidence, it's found false. Interestingly, a biology professor from South Carolina State University, supporting the idea that students in South Carolina schools should be given the scientific challenges to Darwinism, stated that while there's evidence of changes happening within a given species, there is no evidence of evolution from one species to another. This is precisely what biblical creationists have always contended. Variations within a species may and often do occur. The almost endless varieties of cats and dogs are examples with which we're all familiar. But the dogma that one species has evolved over immense periods of time by a series of random mutations is nothing more than the unsupported dogma of the religion of secular humanism. A spokesman for the Wildlife Conservation Society declared that for the Laotian rock rat to reappear after 11 million years was more exciting than if it had really been a new species. Evolutionists just don't get it. This guy's still speaking of the animal as extinct for 11 million years and reappearing in 2005. He apparently can't get it into his head that the little fellow never was extinct and that he and his ancestors have been happily breeding and continuing to live despite the fact that evolutionists had declared them all dead. Not only have reports of Diatomaeidae's death been greatly exaggerated, so too have the claims of the process and progress of biological evolution. Today we continue our study of the third commandment with an often overlooked way in which men commit the sin of taking the Lord's name in vain.
A special form of this appeal to God, especially in the Old Testament, though also in the New, was the casting of the lot. Lots were cast before God to determine a matter of great importance concerning which the will of God could not be ascertained in any other way, or where there was no satisfactory decision possible. In Acts chapter 1 we find that after prayer, looking for one to fill the shoes of Judas Iscariot in the company of the apostles, after prayer, the only way they could discover the will of God was by lot. They cast lots, and the casting of the lot was an acknowledgement of God's providence and God's control. It was an appeal to God. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole, if I could give a modern word, the whole decision, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That's why Solomon could say two chapters later, the lot causeth contentions to cease. You see, the lot was an appeal for God to confirm the truth in the revelation. Now, abuses of the lot are very ancient. Lotteries are not modern inventions. They go back at least to Roman times. And strangely, the same arguments that are now made in their favor were made in their favor back then. They are innocent fun. Very often, we are told now, and very often they were told back in ancient times, this is a painless way to finance good public policy. How often we hear, it will help schools, it will help education, it will help the underprivileged, it will do this, it will do that. The same arguments then as now. The truth is that lotteries are always destructive to public and private morals. They are not innocent fun. I don't want to get away off the subject, but I think I should say all use of a dice is not wrong. All games of chance are not wrong. If you've ever played snakes and ladders, you ever play them? You roll a dice. Back in our country, and I'm sure you do it here too, or did it, in the old days they had a game called Ludo, where you roll the dice and you had to get a six to get out, and you had little plastic men you moved around. And you kept on getting dumped home and go back until you had all your men off the board. Don't think that's wrong. You see, life itself largely involves dealing with the unexpected. Life itself involves living with risk and knowing how to act and react whatever happens. I was just thinking today, my mother was the greatest shark at playing Ludo I ever met. And as I stopped to think of it, it exemplified her life. It would seem that everybody else was getting what she needed. But patiently, using what came her way, she would usually win or be there at the end. That's exactly how it was in life. All use of the dice is not wrong, but what's wrong with the lottery is that it is a perversion of the God-given use of the lot to appeal to His sovereign providence to further a breach of the 10th commandment, which is, thou shalt not covet. That's what's wrong with the lottery. Let me say that whether you do the lottery or not, you have a responsibility to make good use of God's revelation to you. You should hear it, you should heed it, you should herald it. Now, this is how far we've come. Follow me carefully. Graciously, God has revealed His name to us. That revelation imposes a very grave responsibility on us to glorify and honor that name. And thirdly, now, the commandment warns us not to shirk this responsibility. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There are various ways of failing to sanctify the Lord's name, and the third commandment warns against each of them. I'm going to be very brief and name seven ways in which men commonly break the third commandment. One, levity. Psalm 96 verse 4 says, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And we only use the Lord's name properly when we use it soberly. When we use it intelligently, that is, with reason, with understanding, and with good purpose. We only use the Lord's name properly when we use it for His glory or for the good of ourselves or our fellow men. Remember that to take the Lord's name in vain means to use it frivolously. And I want to make a statement from this pulpit tonight that I hope you will never forget. I believe that God has created in humankind a sense of humor, but I believe that as with every other faculty and gift, it must be sanctified and it must be kept under the control of God and His Spirit. We should learn that it is never, 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 never right to use the name of God in a joke. I have heard preachers get up to preach the Bible and they start off by blaspheming the very name of Him whom they claim to represent by the levity with which they use His name. If your humor includes the name of God, His person, His titles, His works, your humor is of the devil. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, frivolously. You may be surprised that I say, secondly, sorcery. Do you think we live in some remote tribal village? No, I don't. When I refer to sorcery, I refer to incantations using the Lord's name in occult practice. And very interestingly, the Old Testament notes that false prophecy is a special kind of sorcery. We read of Balaam in chapter 24, verse 1 of Numbers, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. To the false prophet, the name of Jehovah was just a magical charm. Now let me make a far-reaching statement. All magical incantations of the divine name belong to sorcery, not Christianity. There is something chillingly evil about the constant repetition of the name Jesus, 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 Jesus in charismatic and other services, using that holy name as if it were a charm. Charms are devilish sorcery. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. Third, perjury. Perjury is confirming falsehood with an oath. Leviticus 19:12 says, "Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall ye profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Now this is a very serious and widespread evil in everyday life. It always has been. Jeremiah lamented in chapter 5:2, "Though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely." We have this on every hand today. People invoking the name of God as a witness for what they are saying, and all the time they are swearing lies. That is perjury. It's not only an evil in private life, it's an evil in public life. From the president down, the magistrates take an oath of office, and they often profane God's name by including that in their oath, and then blaspheming it with their insolent neglect of their oath. Ministers and elders, as they are confirmed in their holy calling, often commit a breach of the third commandment because they effectively commit perjury, swearing before God and man, as ministers of the gospel, what they will do and what they will not do, and then promptly forgetting all about it. That is perjury. A fourth way is blasphemy. Blasphemy is reproaching or reviling God. It's contempt for God. We read that tonight in Leviticus chapter 24 of the son of the Israelitish woman who cursed by the name of Jehovah, who blasphemed Jehovah. The Lord looks on blasphemy as an attack upon His person, or His providence, or His promise. It's something that comes from the devil, ultimately. It has the malignity of Satan within it. You remember what we read in Revelation 13:5 concerning the beast, that satanic emissary on the earth in the last days? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Now what is blasphemy? Well, it's reviling the Lord. But it is particularly speaking against Him. Listen to the words of Christ in Matthew 12:31. "All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven." Now that's verse 31. Verse 32 explains that. "Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Blasphemy is speaking against God. And the worst form of it is blaspheming the Holy Ghost, which in Matthew 12 is deliberately attributing to the devil the work of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.